शीतोष्णासुखदुःखेषु समासङ्गविवर्जितः तुल्यनिन्दास्तुतिर्मौनि सन्तुष्टो येन केनचित् अनेकेधा स्थिरा मतिर्भक्तिमान् मे प्रियो नरः.
One who is equal to friends and enemies, he who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contamination, always silent and satisfied with anything, who does not care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge and engaged in devotional service, is very dear to me.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
A devotee is always free from all bad association. Sometimes one is praised and sometimes one is defamed. That is the nature of human society. But a devotee is always transcendental to artificial fame and infamy, happiness or distress. He is very patient. He does not speak of anything but the topics about Krishna. Therefore, he is called silent. Silent does not mean that one should not speak. Silent means that one should not speak nonsense. One should speak only of essentials. And the most essential speech for the devotee is to speak of the Supreme Lord. He is happy in all conditions. Sometimes he may get very palatable foodstuffs, sometimes not, but he is satisfied. Nor does he care for any residential facility. He may sometimes live underneath a tree, and he may sometimes live in a very palatial building. He is attracted to neither. He is called fixed because he is fixed in his determination and knowledge. He may find some repetition in the descriptions. We may find some repetition in the descriptions of the qualifications of a devotee. But this is just to give an illustration of the fact that a devotee must acquire all these qualifications. Without good qualifications, one cannot be a pure devotee. One who is not a devotee has no good qualifications. One who wants to be recognized as a devotee should develop the good qualifications. Of course, he does not extraneously endeavor to acquire these qualifications. But engagement in Krishna consciousness and devotional service automatically helps him develop them. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat, cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy. He was always free from contamination, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge and engaged in devotional service, is very dear to me.
It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yas yasthi bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvayar gunaistatra samesarasura harava bhaktasya kutho mahadguna manorathi nasati dhavato bahi.
That one who is a devotee of the Lord is endowed with all good qualities. In fact, all the qualities of the Supreme Lord, all the great saints, and all of the demigods are manifested by one who surrenders his life in the loving service of the Lord. But one who is not taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, it explains in this verse, such a person has no good qualifications. Because whatever qualifications may be there, however virtuous they may be by a common materialistic person's standards, they are all situated on the platform of illusion. They are all situated on the platform of mental concoction. What is this mental concoction? We are thinking, I am this body. And all things in relationship to this body are mine. Janasya moho yam maham mameti. And we're living according to these principles. And in the name of piety, people who are under this illusion, sometimes they may do very good welfare work for others. They may give in charity. According to the Bhagavatam, such people have no good qualifications because it is all based on illusion. And all of their so-called piety is simply perpetuating an illusion that you are your body and I am my body. And we have a separate existence apart from the soul or from God. Therefore, in truth, only one who lives according to this principle has actual good qualifications. Good means truth. Bad means ignorance. We can build a wonderful empire in a fool's paradise. But what credibility does that have? This whole human society is like a fool's paradise. Practically everyone, even in the name of religion, are simply striving to better their material condition of life through education, through acts of charity. Sometimes those in the mode of ignorance, they try to better their condition by killing, by stealing, by lying, by cheating. Those in the mode of passion, they try to better their material condition by just working hard, foaming at the mouth like asses, just trying to get more and more and more with no time for anything else. Those in the mode of goodness try to better their material life by doing pious works, by doing good to others, knowing that the karmic reaction will be good. But Krishna explains in the Gita, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraiguna Bhavarjuna Nirdvandlo Nityasatyasto Niyogakshema Atmavan. All these activities are in illusion. Nashato Vidyate Bhavo Na Bhavo Vidyate Shata Ubhayor Apidristam Twastvani Yostvati Dharashiti. What is truth? Truth is to connect our consciousness to the eternal. And what is illusion? To connect our consciousness to the temporary. This is what religion is meant to bring about, this revolution of consciousness, from attaching ourselves from the temporary facilities of this body to the eternal facilities of the soul. This is religion. But even in the name of religion today, people come to the temple, they approach God simply to better their illusion, to create a nicer dream, to have better facilities for this body. Which is destined for birth, old age, disease, and death. Therefore, real spiritual life means to develop these spiritual qualities. And where these spiritual qualities that are spoken of by Krishna are not manifested, then we can understand, however nice we may speak Bhagavad philosophy, however nicely we may speak from the Upanishads and from the various scriptures of the world, if we do not have the qualities of being equipoised in happiness and distress, if we do not have the quality of seeing no one as our friend of our or our enemy, but having unconditional love for every living being and being the servant of all living beings, if we are attached to fame or infamy, these are the qualities of someone who is still manodashi nasati dhavato bahi, still on the platform of illusion. Therefore, Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explained to Srila Haridas Thakur that some people speak very nicely, but they do not behave properly. And some people behave very nicely, but they do not speak properly. A devotee of the Lord is one who only speaks the truth. He does not compromise the truth simply to become popular in this world. And he lives according to these principles of truth. Such a devotee sees every living being as part and parcel of his beloved Lord. In fact, Krishna, he is ready and willing to forgive anyone for any offense at any time and give them the highest treasure of pure love if they just turn to him with sincerity. So how much a devotee should be in that same spirit? There is a story depicting how the Lord's mercy and the mercy of the Lord's devotees is just completely open and available to anyone, whatever one's condition of life, and how the Lord grants his mercy sometimes through putting a soul into terrible suffering conditions. The Supreme Lord appeared 500 years ago. It is said, Brajendra Nandana Jay, Sachi Shuta Hoilo Se, Balarama Hoilo Nithai. That Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Balaramji, who is none other than the Lord himself. Krishna and Balarama are the same one God manifesting in two forms. Balaramji appeared in the form of Lord Nityananda. So, during the pastimes of Navadvip, Lord Nityananda would sometimes decorate himself and allow himself to be decorated by his devotees with nice jewelry and silks. So, at this time, there was a man who was born in a very high-class Brahmin family. But due to bad association, he became the worst possible criminal. He loved to taste strong liquors. He became very greedy, very lusty, very envious. And he chose the association of dacoits. And because by his pious birth he was very powerful, he misused all of this power and he became the leader, the chief, the president of the dacoits. You see, when someone is given much, there is much as expected. And someone who is given much, if he misuses it, he is the most dangerous creature on earth. Just like we read of Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, both of them were born of Brahmin families. And they had such tremendous knowledge of the Shastra, and they had such tremendous Brahmatejas powers to perform such austerity, to get such grand benedictions. But because they were in the wrong association, they became the greatest threats to human society. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. That Krishna is always very kind upon Brahmins. Because the Brahmins are meant to live a simple, austere life, completely dedicated to the service of others by helping them come closer to Brahman or God. But those who are endowed with such Brahminical qualifications but misuse them, they are the greatest threats to human society. So this person was very powerful. And he and his band of dacoits, they would murder, they would steal, they would cheat, they would plunder, they would rape, they would do every possible crime. And one day, this
dacoit,
saw the beauty of Lord Nityananda when he was dancing in the kirtan of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So he was thinking that, just see the beautiful jewels and silk on this man. I will disguise myself as a Vaishnava, and I will join the kirtan, and when he is least expecting and no one is looking, I will kill him and steal everything that he has. So he did like this. But Lord Nityananda could understand this man's mentality. So he very indiscreetly, he left the kirtan and went to the house of one Hiranya Pandit, who was a very simple devotee, who had a nice house and who was very, very pious and very advanced in his devotional life. So soon all the devotees went to join him. So this dacoit, so-called Brahmin, he was thinking that I will get my entire gang of dacoits. And when everyone is sleeping in the house, we will kill everyone and steal whatever they have. So they camped out. It was night. They all wore dark blue clothes, so they could not be seen. And they camped out under a tree. And they sent a spy to go to see if everyone was sleeping. But the spy came back and said, they are taking prasad, they are chanting Harinam, they are not sleeping at all. So they started to think, then we will wait till they're asleep. And they were talking amongst each other, saying, I want that necklace that he's wearing. The other one said, you can have the necklace, but I want his ankle bells. You can have that, but I want that silk chadar. In this way, they were just talking what they were going to get for themselves. And as they were talking, they all fell asleep. By the power of Yoga Maya, they all became completely in a sleeping state. And early in the morning, when the sun was about to rise, they heard crows cawing, and they woke up, and it was light. And they thought, what happened? We slept. We lost our chance. And they were very angry, and they started to blame each other. Why? You were the one that fell asleep first. Well, if I fell asleep first, why didn't you wake me up? And they were all arguing, saying, this is the way materialistic people are. When something goes wrong, it's everyone else's fault. Especially your closest friends. Generally, you don't blame someone you don't like. You blame people who are in your... If something goes wrong, it's somebody in your family's fault. Or it's one of your godbrothers or godsisters' fault. That is human nature. There has to be someone to blame. Why? Because otherwise, I'm to blame. And that doesn't look good for my ego. So they were battling amongst each other. Finally, this Brahmin, he said, why are you fighting? The fact is, we all fell asleep. What difference does it make who fell asleep first? Tomorrow night, we have to come back. Bring all your most formidable weapons and make them very sharp. So they sharpened all their swords and their knives and their clubs, and they all came, and they were sitting under this tree. And the spy came and said, they are sleeping. So they came before the house. And as they came, there were many, many guards around the house. Huge guards, built like mountains. They had such powerful bodies, and they were all carrying all assorted weapons. They all had tilak. They were all wearing garlands. And they were all chanting as they were going around the house in very deep, thunderous voices. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. So they were thinking, any one of these men can kill all of us. So they all began to argue, who are these men? Maybe this Nityananda is some demigod, and he's some Vaikuntha guards are protecting him. Others were saying, no, so many speculations. But then the Brahmin, he said, listen, just shut up, stop talking, I'm telling you what's happening. So many rich people are his followers. So some rich man has come and stationed some guards outside, but they will not remain very long. We'll come back in 10 days, they'll be gone.
So they kept watch of the house. The guards disappeared. 10 days later, they got all their sharpened weapons in the middle of the night and they came. And all of a sudden, it became pitch dark. So dark. Big black clouds started filling the skies. And they couldn't see anything. And they just started walking forward, and some of them fell into the moat, the ditch outside of this property. Just like I fell in ditch. All dacoits ultimately have to fall in ditches. So they fell in ditches, and they fell, and they broke their legs and their arms, and they were in pain. And then all of a sudden, all these leeches and giant mosquitoes started biting them. And all lizards, they were just getting bitten and bitten, and they couldn't say anything. They couldn't get up. They couldn't stand up. They couldn't get out. And they were just being eaten alive by these creatures. And other people, they somehow or other got around the ditch, but they couldn't see. So they walked into the garbage pit, and they fell into the garbage pit, and there all scorpions just started biting them ferociously. And they were just laying there in total pain. And others, and their limbs were all broken up due to the falling. Others, they somehow or other got around the garbage pit. But they walked right into these thorn bushes where there was these cruel, sharpened, giant thorns. And they just enveloped their bodies in all directions. And they were just tearing at their flesh like swords and daggers and knives. And the more they tried to move, the more they were just being cut to pieces. And meanwhile, all the insects and scorpions started coming and biting them. They were just suffering. It was worse than hell. And then Indra, he was, these nonsense dacoits are trying to disturb my Nityananda Prabhu. He started throwing torrents of rain. Started raining like anything. And it became freezing cold. And soon the rain turned into rock-hard stones of hail. And it was just pounding on their bodies. And they were just laying there. They were suffering so bad that ultimately the Brahman, he started to think in this condition that the first night we miraculously fell asleep. The second night there were these superhuman guards around, and now we've come back the third time and look at what kind of suffering we're in. That this Lord Nityananda, he must be a great saint, or he must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he began to pray to Lord Nityananda. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Most Merciful. You have put me in the most hellish, painful, suffering condition just to wake me up to your glories. On this day, I vow I will never sin again. If you see it fit to let me live through this night, I will be your servant eternally and constantly engage in assisting your divine servants for your pleasure. Just when he was thinking like this, and all the others were also praying to God, please, free me, save me. At that time, the weather became very nice, and the moon came out, and everyone could see, and they were all released. They were like dead men rising from their graves. And all the dacoits, they went to the Ganges to purify themselves. And then they went home. But this Brahmin, he went directly to the house where Lord Nityananda was sitting with his associates. And he just lifted his arms and said, save me, save me, and fell in dandavat, full prostration. He said, I am yours. Lord Nityananda said, what happened to you? Look at the condition you're in. And he explained the whole situation, what happened for 3 nights. He said, now I understand what a sinful fool I have been, living apart from your divine will. And look at, by your grace, you have put me through such suffering, such torturous conditions, just to wake me up to the truth. Lord Nityananda said, actually, first is Brahman, he said, that now I have surrendered my life to you. Now, with your permission, I want to go to the Ganges and I want to drown myself to atone for all of the offenses I have committed to you and to so many others. And when the devotee saw his sincerity, he was ready and willing to drown himself in regret for his sins, his offenses. They all began to cry in ecstatic love. Such a sincere soul. He has truly received the mercy of the Lord. And then Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he said that you are now purified. My instruction to you is this. Never again engage in any materialistic sinful activities. Never. You live for the welfare of all living beings. You continuously chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And whoever you meet, especially all of these dacoits, you preach to them. You bring them to the standard of loving devotion to the Lord and the chanting of the holy names. This is your eternal service. And then Lord Nityananda took the garland and from his own neck and put it around this dacoit who fell at his feet, and he placed his lotus feet on the dacoit's head. And at that time, he became completely purified. And he got up and began to raise his arms and dance in transcendental joy as he chanted the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. In this way, he became a very compassionate, loving servant of the Lord. And he went to all of the different gangs of dacoits and convinced all of them, you must give up these sinful activities and let us have kirtan together. And those who were fortunate joined his loving kirtan, chanting the holy names, advancing in truth, in pursuance of reality. What is reality? Reality is to understand. Jnanina tutara jnanam yesham nashyatam atmana tesham aritya vijnanam prakashyati tat param. To understand that we are all part and parcel of Krishna. That we are all spirit souls. That our true nature is to love Krishna, to serve Krishna, to do everything for Krishna. This is reality. Everything that is disconnected from the service of Krishna is maya. It is illusion. It is spiritually an impediment. And this is the purpose of coming to the temple. To be trained how to live 24 hours a day within our life in loving communication with Krishna through bhakti, through devotion. We do not come to the temple simply to get some punya, some pious activity, give some donation, come and go. Most people, they come like this in all religions. They want some blessing. But actually, those who are sincere, they come to the temple of the Lord for sadhu satsang, for the association of saintly people who teach us the process of how to surrender our lives in any condition in the loving service of the Lord. Whoever we may be, Yare deka thari kaha Krishna upadesha maragoy guru hari thare desh. Whether we are family men or women, whether we are students, whether we are brahmacharis or sannyasis, whether we are educated, uneducated, men or women, the order is this. Learn how to take shelter of Krishna's holy name. And whoever you meet, You offer the highest welfare service to that person by trying, according to your capacity, to raise that person's consciousness from illusion to reality. From the bodily concept to the spiritual concept. From Maya to Krishna. And in this age of Kali Yuga, anyone, everyone, can be enlightened, illuminated in divine consciousness if they simply learn how to properly chant the holy names of the Lord. In this wonderful narration that we have spoken today, we find how anyone who simply turns to Krishna with a sincere heart is immediately given the opportunity to perfect his life. And how do we perfect our life? Lord Nityananda has given us two processes. To learn in the association of pure-hearted souls to chant the holy names, and to give that benediction to everyone. The Lord's mission is not simply to be kept for yourself. Prahlad Maharaj was offered the benediction of going back to Vaikuntha to enjoy eternal life in the divine association of Lord Narayan. And he said, "My Lord, I don't care for that, because I know what pleases you. As long as one person in this world is in the illusion, thinking I am this body, and those things in relationship to this body are mine, and are suffering due to that illusion, I want to be in this world to help them to love you." That is the highest service to the Lord. And this is what Sankirtan means. To come together to chant the holy names, not only for our own purification, but for the purification of the entire creation. When we dance with great sincerity, and we chant with great feeling and attention, and we love one another in that association, then so many unfortunate people in this world will become fortunate by becoming attracted to the chanting of God's names. And by learning to come together and chant in this way, we can do the ultimate service for the pleasure of Krishna. Para upakar. By performing the supreme welfare activity of providing the medication that will cure the ills of the eternal soul and bring one back to one's original eternal healthy condition. Satchit Ananda. We are all eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. This is the ultimate benediction and the supreme goal and the foremost responsibility of every human being. To learn how to come together with sincere devotees of the Lord and chant his holy names and live a pure, spotless life in pursuance of the service of all living beings through the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. I am so much grateful to Sri Radha Gopinathji for allowing me to return in your divine company and to see all of your effulgent forms so wonderfully worshipping the Lord. I am too much grateful to all of you for giving us this chance to chant Hare Krishna together.